WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Dog Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. This is a special sports presentation on the Beaver Radio Network. It's time to huddle. The Coach's Huddle and the Tom Ceratori Show at Posse's Smoke and Barbecue.
Back down, bottom of the left circle for Eric Martin. He'll circle back up. Feeds it now for Loaf.
Shoots and scores! Loaf with the shot. Leighton Roan may have gotten a piece of it, and the Beavers win it in the 3-on-3.
The Tom Ceratori Show with Brian Schultz, Brian Bissonette, and Kelly Schultz.
Back for Weissman. Up top it goes to Corcoran. To the top of the right circle. Tipped out in front. The Beavers score. Bemidji State's Jackson Judding. Ottertail power play goal. Beavers up by 2.
Stop by for cold beer and the best barbecue in town. And we might just pick up your tab. You're home for the Beavers for 23 years. The Beaver Radio Network is WMIS-FM 92.1, The River.
Good evening and welcome to Fozzie's Smoke and Barbecue for the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. A big thanks to Jason Fozzie Schmidt and the rest of the staff here at Fozzie's for being the new home for the Tom Ceratori Show here for the rest of the season.
Gotta love it, man. The food's here is awesome.
It is. Can't go wrong with barbecue.
Oh, it's delicious.
The first half of the season has come and gone. Beavers in first place in the CCHA standings. Coach, you have a good Christmas and good New Year's?
Yeah, it was. I was gone. I was gone for 10 days or so, but overall, it was great to spend some time with family.
First half has to get a passing grade and then some, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we should have 5 more points. And, you know, we stubbed our toe a few times and we couldn't hold leads and those types of things. But we also, there was probably some games that, you know what, we got some points that maybe we shouldn't have either. So who knows? But at the end of the day, I'm really proud of the guys and they've exceeded our expectations the first half.
Well, in Mankato, first time you guys have swept them in Mankato since, what, 2006? So great way to wrap up the first half of the CCHA season.
Yeah, no, I was a guy. Absolutely getting 5 points down there was, it was a difficult task. And the guys stood tall, and it was dicey at times. But, again, we got it done, and that was a big – it was a big series before Christmas.
Well, winning on the road in this league isn't easy, especially in Mankato when they start playing their chant.
I still heard it way too often.
The Olé song.
Tom, what was kind of the key to the success of your team to be able to win on the road?
Oh, it's just there's just such a fine line. I don't know. It's hard to quantify some of that, and you know a lot of it is goaltending. I mean, you have to get goaltending on the road, and that's probably timely goals and. I don't know. I haven't put a lot of thought into it, but they were tight. I mean, those games could have been losses. I guess that's what I'm getting at. It's a flip of a coin and it's a fine line but I think Matias came. You know, he stood tall when he needed to stand tall. We killed off a couple of penalties when we needed to kill off a couple of penalties, and then we got a big power play goal on Friday night, which is typically the Saturday night, the second night of the series, to go up 3-1, and it's nice having a 2-goal lead. But oh boy, the games are so tight, Kelly. So that's why it's hard to sit there and say why easily could have went the other way. You just have a little puck luck or whatever it is, and then you just ride it. You just ride it out.
It's not often that you get a guy on the opposing team, so games in Mankato, opposing team, the Beavers, who's from that town, Mankato in this instance, Kyle Loft, scores the game winner in overtime. He's named the number one star in the arena. I obviously had him as the number one star, but I'm surprised that they did it. But he came out and skated in front of his family and all of his friends that were there. I thought that was a class act by Minnesota State of saying, hey, you're the number one star. You want to go out there? And he says, heck yeah.
No, it's cool. That's really cool. And I put a tear in my eye, to be honest with you. And I'm choked up even talking about it because he's such a class kid. And, you know, his family, they're class acts. And, no, and it was a big, you know, it was a big game for him. It was a big game for him. And, you know, and I hope it's the last time he ever plays in Mankato.
Well, he's been solid for you. So is, you know, most of your defensive core. What would you say is the biggest surprise for you this season on a positive note? What has surprised you the most in the first half of the season?
Well, I think we've had guys step to the plate that, you know, we probably – we didn't know if they could step to the plate, but had the ability to step to the plate this early on in their career. But it's amazing when you give guys opportunity, you know, they seize that opportunity, and that's what I think what's happened. And so there's guys that we probably – and I don't like to sit there and name names about that because I don't know if that's fair. But it's just overall, I think, again, as a collective group, a lot of guys who have never played a lot of hockey are playing a lot of hockey for us, and, you know, they've elevated their game, and all you need to do is put guys in situations sometimes when they can do that, and that's the problem you have sometimes in sports is that there's a lot of guys who can play, but they're playing behind somebody, and it doesn't mean because they're playing behind somebody that they're not a superior athlete because they actually are. So it's just having opportunity, and at our level, we talked about it as our staff talked about it today about a player. Like, you can be a stud, but if you're not on the power play, you're not going to get points at any level. You will not get points. You know, and I'm talking high levels, like pro hockey, college hockey, junior. You will not get points unless you're on the power play. And, you know, so if you have six forwards ahead of you, maybe seven, you're not on the power play. And that's not fair sometimes. So, but you put guys in position to have success, a lot of guys can do it.
I had a question. Now I'm going to venture in a completely different area now that you just mentioned that. As a coach, do you go in and say, if two players are even, I'm going to play the senior over the junior or the junior over the sophomore early?
No, I don't know.
Or is it just a gut feeling who can...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it goes both ways, I guess, is what I'm getting at. It goes both ways, and I don't necessarily... Boy, I'd have to sit there and, you know, probably, you'd have to be probably more definitive in a situation. But it's not like you're saying, I'm going to give the senior the first shot or I'm going to give the freshman the first shot. A lot of times coaches will go with the younger guy because they've got – you know, you want to develop that younger person because you have more you got more time to develop that person. So, but then obviously once you've had somebody in your program, you feel, you know, a certain amount of loyalty to that particular person. So I don't know what it is, guys. I think that's probably – you're right on, Schultz. It's a gut, and there's a reason why you're making a decision. There's a reason you're making a decision. But what happens too? It all plays out during the year, and guys, you know, guys will get bent out of shape a little bit. You know, if things aren't going their way early, but eventually there's, you know, people are going to play themselves out of the lineup. There's injuries or whatever, and then eventually, if you get an opportunity, seize the moment. You know, so it all plays out, and at the end of the day. It plays out, and the right guys are probably in the right spots.
Well, in the exhibition game, you got the opportunity to play anybody, right? I mean, you could play as many. So that's an opportunity, and saw some players who haven't been on the ice as much get that time for you to kind of evaluate them, right?
Absolutely, and I thought it was a good opportunity for a lot of guys, and a lot of guys that we probably, I don't know, I'm not going to say, you know, they just haven't, I mean, they weren't, hey, Tony Fulmer got to kill penalties, which he does, but, I mean, he was, you know, with Will out of the lineup, it elevated Megs. You know, and Tony Fulmer, you know, to kill more penalties. And then it was great going. We just rolled four lines straight. I mean, I had my fourth line on the ice with 2 minutes to go. And so it was great. I mean, we just rolled four lines. So those guys got to play. So it does win. What it does do, Biss, it does give you as a coach confidence and maybe some players that, you know, you didn't know could maybe do it in a certain situation. So all these are good is all I'm getting at. It's all good stuff. You know what? And maybe, obviously, again, you find out that maybe we got to watch how much we play a particular person or put them in the lineup. So no matter what, these are all good. There was a great game for those types of things, mostly with having Rhodey out of the lineup and having Will out of the lineup and Ross out of the lineup. So it did give other guys – everybody had to move up. I mean, we had some guys playing on the power play. And it wasn't necessarily like – we only had one power play, for example, and we didn't obviously do much on that power play. First 20 seconds we did, the last minute and 40, I wish we could have declined it. But but at the end of the day, these guys got to practice. They got to practice there, though. We saw guys in practice, and we saw the reps in practice, and we said, you know, that guy could be pretty good there, and we haven't – You know, we haven't played them there before. So there's just a lot of different things that, you know, that play out when you have to kind of shuffle your lineup.
Well, in those exhibition games, you get a chance to see those young guys. Who were some of the young guys that really impressed you in that exhibition game?
Well, I don't know if they impressed me, but they played well and they were confident, and you know, and I think that's probably the best way of probably, you know, putting it.
Would you say, Tom, that I'll set the threshold at 90%? Do 90% of your recruits play special teams in juniors?
I would think so. Yeah, for sure.
Is it maybe even north of that?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good – yeah. I mean, almost all of them are on the power play. Almost all of them are on the power play. So there you go. I'm not saying they're all killing penalties, but almost all of them are on the power play, if not all of them. You know what? I should say, you know what? There's maybe a few defensemen aren't on the power play. I'll take that back. But of our forwards, every one of them are on the power play.
And philosophy-wise, for the power play, two defensemen, one defenseman, or you just kind of...
All depends on what your personnel is, Biss, and all depends on what kind of power play players you have, and all, you know, shooters, playmakers. There's so many different factors. What kind of power play do you want to run? There's so many factors that play into it. And you take a look at us right now, and we have two defensemen on the number one unit, but we only had one for a long time. I mean, we put Will up there, you know, a little, probably about a month ago, and we do have one to two, you know, at defensemen on the second unit. We you know, Vinny Corcoran's been getting more and more ice on the second unit, and he's a legitimate power play guy. So, but Vinny's not playing every game, you know. But when he's out there, we're putting him on the power play, you know. And you got Lufty, and we got Vinny, and you know, sometimes if Vinny's not out there, then we might have four forwards, and you know, we have, because Jackson Judding is playing as a defenseman a lot of times. So we're sitting on the bench. Hey, who's got, you know, Judge is a D on a line change. So it all depends. But I've had teams where I've had, you know, a 1D on each unit. And I've had teams where I've had 2D. I mean, hey, I remember Michigan in the mid-90s. Billy McCall, Warren Looning. I mean, Brendan Morrison. I'm going back. Blake Sloan. I'm just going. You know, they had five forwards on the on their power play because they were. I mean, five NHLers, and it was scary. So
you're smart and you can skate as a forward, you can get by with playing back at the point.
Yeah, well, a lot of it's just the ability to make plays, and you'll sacrifice one for the other for sure. You know, sometimes if that person is going to, you know, give you 6% more on the power play, that's worth it. So. I mean, it all depends, guys, is all I'm getting at. I mean, it's every year is different. So I don't know if there's anything philosophically, which would I believe in, Biss. It's all about your own personnel, and I think that's how you got to attack it.
Tom, do you adjust who you put out there according to your opponent on special teams?
No, we really don't. I mean, We usually go with our, you know, our top unit is getting more. They're getting more minutes than the second unit. But if we're frustrated with our top unit, sit down and we'll go with the second unit, because it's amazing when there's some desperation and they want more minutes. That's called competition. That's the kind of competition I like.
Well, it depends who was out there the shift prior to the penalty. Mm-hmm.
Not really. Most of the time we're going with even if our number ones are out there. Even if our guys who are on the number one power player out there, we'll just take your time, make it 30 seconds. We want them out there. Hmm. We do. More times than not, we'll still, even if they're tired, we'll stick with them. Unless it's obviously once in a while. I remember Elias Rosen a couple of games ago, I can't go. Then other groups got to go.
Have you ever just thrown a different center out there?
No. Nah, I should say maybe. You know what? Yeah, maybe. We might. You know, I can't.
Last year, maybe Owen wasn't going to be out there to start a power play because he had just been out there for a minute and a half, but he's going to win that draw first.
No, you're right, Schultz. I don't know. I can't sit there and tell you. I'm pretty, you know, Winch runs the power play, you know, but, I mean, I did for 15 years. But I was pretty, you know, I was pretty predictable in what I did, you know, and Winch is too. I mean, we're not. I mean, there might be it could be the odd situation. Maybe it could be the odd situation. Like, Rosie's tired. Well, why don't you go out there and we'll still keep the other four? But they work together all week. And in the plays that we have, they just work together. And you really want that continuity. You want that group of five to be out there together. You really do.
How many different set plays do you have? You know, obviously, one power play approach isn't working. You got to shift it because the defense is – cluing in on that.
You know, well, even if they're cluing in on it, we got to worry about what we want to do. And I think that's how you got to out execute. We all know what everybody's doing. I mean, we watch so much video.
Right.
I mean, Duluth knows exactly what we're doing. We know what they're doing. Doesn't mean we're going to stop them.
Right.
And they, you know, talent is talent, and you can out execute people. And that's what you got to do. But then there's always little plays that you think that can work maybe against this particular penalty kill, for example. But by and large, we're all pretty standard on how we play. And then there's little nuances within, within each power play, with each group of five. And then you got to look at your personnel, especially if you have a shooter. If you have a shooter, you can do so many more things.
Jerry Fitzgerald.
Yes. It just opens up another layer of things you can do when you have a shooter.
When Jerry was here, his favorite spot was towards the top of that left-handed circle. How many different ways did you have of getting him the puck in from different areas?
Well, a lot of different areas, and he could get it off. And then you had to put him on his forehand at times because they would take him away on his offhand. So then you have to put him on his forehand. And now he's looking at now the one-timer's not there, but he also can get a shot through. He's got quick hands. He brings the puck in close to his body. He can release it quick, close to his body. He's got that ability of hitting the far side, not short side. I mean, there's a lot of things like that, and it's like any penalty killer's coming out. They're taking the far side away. The goalie's got the short side. So if that penalty killer's obviously giving you a little bit of far side, can you hit that post and can you go in? I mean, that's how detailed we get sometimes, too.
Everybody on the planet knew where that shot was coming from. Yeah. And still score.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. Now there's so many tip plays. I mean, you'll see tip plays all night long. And low bumper plays, and there's just a lot of things that things evolve. Again, not only throughout the years, but just throughout the year right now. I mean, we're watching the World Juniors, and there's a lot of low bumper plays. So, it's one of the – everything's kind of like the – what's the flavor of the month, when I say a low bumper play, it's that bumper who's – they're trickling in below the hash mark, and all you do is – it's a trust play. From the goal line, it's just a blind – trust play you got to trust that the puck's going to get there from the goal line to the bumper below the hash mark. And what happens is that the killer typically will stop in a certain area, and they will not keep coming down. They'll come down too low. They won't come down that low. And if they don't come down that low, our guys will open just for a split second. Can he get the shot off in a split second? So there's just things like that.
You know what the flavor of the rest of the season is?
Barbecue.
Yeah.
Fozzie's Smoking Barbecue, the new home of the Tom Cerruturi Show. We'll take a break, come back with more. It's the Tom Cerruturi Show right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
That to-do list you have needs just one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open a nice cold Coors Light. And chill. Take the afternoon off and binge watch just about anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction already this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. 2023 Coors Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
When you don't have time to go to lunch, let Jimmy John's deliver lunch to you. With Jimmy John's, we can get a freaky fresh sandwich to you freaky fast. Click to order at jimmyjohns.com.
At Jimmy John's, we want your sandwich to arrive freaky fast, so it's freaky fresh. So we only deliver within 5 minutes of our stores, and not farther. Click to order at jimmyjohns.com. 5 minutes is not a guaranteed delivery time. Actual delivery times will vary.
When you're ready to leave your garage like a NASCAR driver, but you can't get your garage door up.
If you can't get it up, call Gaslin. Gaslin Garage Door.
With fully stocked vehicles, they're ready for almost any situation. And that means they can get it up. Call Gaslin Garage Door, and there's a good chance one trip is all they'll need. Call Gaslin Garage Door.
Call 556-1517. Gaslin Garage Door.
It's never too early to consider your goals and refine your vision for retirement. We're Alan Zutz and Rice Miller with Thrivent, and we're here to help you create a strategy that reflects your priorities. We can help you assess your needs and determine the right next steps for your unique situation. Call 218-444-0202 to get started. That's 218-444-0202. That's Alan Zutz and Rice Miller with Thrivent Financial. 218-444-0202.
A six-pack in the fridge isn't enough when you've got a whole squad coming over after the game. Do your game prep at First City Liquor on Paul Bunyan Drive Northwest or Lakeview Liquor on Lake Bemidji's South Shore. And stock up with coolers and coolers full of all your team favorites from Bemidji's largest off-sale selection of beer, wine, and liquor. Get heads-up coaching wherever you are. Text CHEERS to 218-444-1037. And great deals are just a text away. From Lakeview Liquor on the South Shore Lakeside and First City Liquor on Paul Bunyan Drive Northwest.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
Welcome back to Fozzie's Smoke and Barbecue for the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network.
Chelsea, we need to make these breaks longer.
Man, you guys need to get here earlier.
That's, that's like a feast you got in front of you.
Loaded mac and cheese with sausage. It's delicious.
And jalapenos.
There's only like eight of them. I don't know if that's enough. I might have to order more. Mm.
Tom got the brisket, and I got the prime rib sandwich. It's like a French dip.
They all look just awesome.
Kevin got the same.
Love it.
That's what you get.
I got a Cubano sausage.
Ooh, yum.
And a salad.
And a salad.
That's sacrilegious.
Yeah, he's like, and fries, though. You got everything, yeah.
I got fries. Yeah. But
salad at a barbecue
joint. Had to add a healthy component somewhere.
Tom, I don't know if you remember this. A trip to Huntsville many, many, many years ago. There was a certain graduate assistant coach of yours who ordered a salad at the barbecue joint. And I don't think you quit laying into him for about a half an hour.
Salad
at a barbecue
salad joint. And Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
There's no way to make this next topic super easy to transition into. But anyone who was watching the Monday Night Football game, who watched what happened to Buffalo Bills safety, Damar Hamlin, hard to watch. I don't know that I've ever seen Joe Buck and Troy Aikman speechless before, and they both were. And I don't know how they both did that job for the couple hours that they had to do it, but they did. Which got me to thinking, you know, hockey, back when you played, Tom, it was a lot more physical. The equipment wasn't as good. There was a lot more stuff after the whistle. There's ways to make games safer.
Yeah.
Football, you can make rules to make it safer. You can make equipment to make it safer. You can have better coaching at younger levels of how to tackle. Don't stick your head in there if you don't have to. How much safer is hockey now than it was when you played?
Well, I think the rules are way better right now. But I think hockey still is probably, I don't want to use word, it's not as physical. I want to make sure I say the right thing here. When we played, the equipment wasn't as good. But you know what? We didn't hit as hard. We didn't skate as fast. And if you did want to be physical, you had to watch yourself because you could get hurt being physical because of the equipment. Like, it wasn't like you watch those old games and people laugh and, you know, they weren't great skating. That was it's us too in the 80s. What the equipment allowed you, it was hard to have good edges and whatnot because of the skates. But we weren't skating at the pace that these guys are skating at right now. Not a chance. Not even close. So the impact today when you're hitting is definitely there's more speed at you. You're more reckless and more fearless. Two reasons. One, you got a face mask, and you got better equipment.
I've always said college hockey would be better off getting rid of the face mask.
Well, then you got other factors too. And I'm not going to get into that debate because I think it's good the way we have it. But
you feel invincible. Same thing with football.
My only thing is the biggest thing is with the face mask is it takes away offense. Because everybody will block a shot and they'll square up, and if you were having a visor, more shots would get through. So you would actually have more. You would have more offense without the face mask. That's the biggest thing. I'm not even talking from a safety standpoint. You'd have more offense. So I don't necessarily like the game. There's more clutching and grabbing, Schultz. See, that's probably the best way of putting it. There was way more stick play back in the day, like before even 05, but in the 80s and 90s. But also, and I guess there was. I, I, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of injuries today, but there's different, maybe different types of injuries. That's probably the best way of putting it. But I think the rules are, the rules have never been better. That's the, probably the best way of putting it right now. We have a lot of rules that are there to protect the goaltender and that are there to protect the player. And I think that's good. So that actually hopefully takes away that gladiator mentality or that invincible approach that you're talking about.
Will the Derek Boogaard type of player ever come back?
No, not a chance. I mean, I think fighting. You guys might watch more NHL. I don't watch a ton of pro hockey even.
Well, it's certainly not prevalent like it was.
I mean, I don't think you see many fights at all. And part of it, again, I'm going to say, even if you do, you got visors on. You're going to break a hand, or you're, you know, I mean, like,
you're
it's,
right.
I mean, it's a, you got visors on. So you got to watch yourself there, too.
Well, and I think, too, the medical technology and the research has shown as many concussions as you get can cause problems later
CT.
On in life. Exactly.
Had.
And that's what happened with Boogie. But, you know, you hate to see that. So I think a lot of these younger guys are realizing that, hey, I don't want to end up like that.
Right.
Better safe than sorry.
Well, I think what's happening today, too, though, kids are very cognizant of that. And if they've got a concussion, they're not playing. And they know it, which is, you know, back in the day you played with a concussion. And it was just the way you did it. And a lot of it because we probably weren't as educated. And, you know, the old adage, I got my bell rung. You know, and I only remember myself only having one concussion. It was not in college. It was in high school. Looking back at it, and I had a headache for a week, and I didn't know what it was. I remember somebody saying, Tom, you didn't even know. I remember talking to a guy afterwards, what corner I got hit, and he goes, no, it was the opposite corner. I mean, so it's weird, but I had it in high school. I was in 12th grade. Other than that, I don't remember one in college, but at the end of the day, I probably didn't play I didn't play a physical game or was around that either. Certain guys were more physical too.
I don't want to speculate what happened Monday night, but it certainly appears as if it was a hit to the heart. Mm-hmm. We'll find out down the road if there was perhaps an undiagnosed heart condition or if it was just a fluky thing he got hit in the heart. I know that high school baseball catchers, chest protectors, now have to have a plate over the heart. It's embedded into the chest protector. It can be Kevlar, it can be a piece of steel, it can be hard plastic, just something to absorb that impact. So I sent Toby Palmasino, your equipment manager, a text earlier this morning. I said, do goalie chest protectors have a plate over the heart? And he said, there's two layers over the sternum. And yes, each small pad has hard plastic between soft foam inside and hard foam outside. So over the heart on a goalie's chest protector, there is some added shock absorption for this particular instance.
I didn't even know that.
That concept wasn't, I guarantee it wasn't there when you guys played.
Well, that's for sure.
No, you talked to Frank. Actually, it's interesting. During Christmas, my brother and I were talking all about this. Same stuff is weird. You're talking about this. Frank was a goalie. And, like, I still remember when Frank was playing, and in my hey, even in college and high school, the goaltenders, like, Frank used knee pads in between because there was that area right above the knee and the pads. And he, like, and there was also, like, the football. Remember the football, like, you know, all the around the elbows and all that? Because our elbow pads would always slide up. My elbows took a beating because the elbow pads would fall, would slide down. And they were little and small, and holy moly. I mean, there was calcium deposits, and there was a lot of issues with the elbows. But I'm getting sidetracked here. But, like, the goalies would get hit in spots that were just so, you know, vulnerable spots. And, I mean, then the masks were fiberglass, and they were this skinny. It was just a different world, and, you know, than it is right now. And, like, the goalies are so protected right now versus what they were, like, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I don't know about you, Tom, but I think that you know, in our time, you had to have big guys to protect the goal scorers like they did in the NHL. Even at, you know, I remember in Bantams, they put two of the biggest guys on the team with me just so they could protect me. Not that they didn't have some skill, but so that part certainly has changed. You're not feeling obligated to have somebody like that anymore. But hacking after the play, that seems to have fortunately decreased over time. Not that it doesn't happen, but it seemed to be like every whistle.
Yeah. And all three refs would have to get in front of the cage and separate everybody. Yeah, it was
games
ridiculous.
Would get chippy. Games would get chippy. Games would be 2.5 hours long. And there's just a lot of factors that have played into modern-day hockey. Part of it's equipment. Part of it's discipline. Part of it's obviously, you want to protect the player, but the other one is you want to make sure, again, from a fan's perspective, that the games are getting over in a shorter period of time so they can enjoy the game and they want to come to the rink and watch hockey.
In your opinion, should any player safety potential penalty be reviewed?
Give me an example, Schultz. I'm not understanding that question. That's why.
What looks like a quote-unquote normal hit, but it was up near the shoulder. Should that just be reviewed?
No, because he'd be reviewing things all day long, and players and coaches would just be they would be taking advantage of the rule and be taking advantage of the situation. Now you're going to have 2.5 hour games.
Could it be like the NFL where they've got somebody up in the booth that just rewind, watch? Nope, we're good, and you just keep playing, and you don't even know.
We're doing a great job right now. Our game is great. These referees, we got two of them on the ice. We got two linesmen. They know they're watching the game. They can see if it's a penalty. No, I'm not going to sit there and say, of course, there's going to be penalties that aren't being called. We all know that. But they're there to manage the game. Conversely, if it's a hit from behind or contact to the head, that is reviewable because of the difficulty of recognizing at number one, but B, understanding the severity of the hit. So we are doing those things already. But just because to me, it's all about the head. It's all about the head right there, and we've taken advantage of that. We've taken care of that, but you can't be looking at every hit.
Part of the problem in the NFL, and there's seven refs, the size of the field is massive.
Good point.
That's a lot of territory to cover.
Yeah.
And guys are just so fast coming across the middle that you cannot tell where that hit initiated. I don't know how they expect those seven guys to figure that out. Seven refs. There are women NFL refs, too.
Right.
I don't know how they expect them to do that in real time.
I think one of the points you brought up that made the game safer is the second ref. Remember when there was one ref. Obviously, they can't see 360. I think that just adding a ref made the game a lot safer.
For sure, Bish. There's no doubt. And that's probably a good point, too, Schultz, you're making. And I don't know anything about football. And you're a football referee, so, you're obviously – you're dialed in right there. I'm not. That's a big space. Hockey's not a very big space. And when you have, you have two linesmen, you have two referees, and you got 10 players. That's a lot of people on that rink right there. As much as it's kind of a big space, it's not even the same stratosphere as a football field.
100 yards by 53 yards.
Now you're talking.
That's big.
No doubt. What are we, like 35 yards by 26, 27 yards. I mean, 200 by 85, yeah.
Coach Tom Ceratori with us tonight. It's the Tom Ceratori Show from our new home, Fozzie's Smoke and Barbecue. We'll come back and preview the home and home at Duluth. And our player profile tonight, Jackson Jennings, will join us. It's the Tom Ceratori Show from Fozzie's right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Before or after this week's BSU Beavers game, get your fill of pizza, pasta, beer, and wings at the Green Mill Restaurant in Bemidji. Or if you'd rather order takeout or delivery, take advantage of the Green Mill's awesome takeout and delivery specials, such as Friday and Saturday's family meal deal, or Sunday's large one-topping deep dish pizza for $14.99. Look for menu details online at greenmill.com and call 218-444-1875 to order your very own Green Mill delivery of the game. Pizza, pasta, beer, and wings will see you at the mill.
You've trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance. All without spilling a drop of your ice-cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
Every day made better at Hot Spring Hot Tubs in northern Minnesota. It's a new year, and it's time to take care of your health. where you're going to offer 0% financing for 60 months or no payments or interest for one full year on all in-stock hot tubs and saunas. That's right. Start off the new year with a healthier you with the relaxing healing powers a hot tub or sauna provides. Come see us at Hot Spring Hot Tubs in northern Minnesota. Look for the big duck across from Target in Bemidji.
What does it mean to be a member of Paul Bunyan Communications? It means we invest in you. We invest in the most advanced fiber optic network available to give you access to the fastest internet speeds, now up to 10 gig. We invest in our team to give you the superior customer experience you deserve. And we invest in the latest in technology, like the free GigaZone app. On top of that, as a cooperative member, you share in our success. Are you ready for better service from a provider that invests in you? Join us today. We're Paul Bunyan Communications, and we're right here.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Boy, it looks like you didn't even take a bite of that.
I got I am wholeheartedly in agreement, longer breaks.
That is like...
I got three bites out of my loaded mac and cheese.
It's like it's 5 pounds of food there.
I can make those breaks longer. We'll just give our sponsors more.
Delicious. It's brilliant. Loaded mac and cheese with jalapenos and bacon and smoked sausage.
Yeah, that looks really good.
Doesn't get any better now.
That's my absolute favorite thing.
So what are we giving away tonight?
We give away every single night four $25 gift cards to Fozzie's.
Wow, sweet.
And we have two pairs of tickets to Friday night's men's hockey game against Duluth.
Nice.
So we will have six winners tonight. Next break.
I know. I see so Kevin's out there handing out the tickets.
If you are in downtown Bemidji right now, stop by Fozzie's.
You
just a stone's throw away from the downtown arch. You could be a winner. Bulldogs come to town on Friday night, Tom. They may not be the flying Bulldogs of, you know, their back-to-back Frozen Four runs, but one thing about Coach Sandlin, he always recruits to his identity as well, just like you do. They're always incredibly entertaining games with the Bulldogs, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And Schultz, it's everybody's good. It does, like, it. Hey.
You know, I know.
It's that. So that's they could have eight more wins. We could have five more losses. It's just weird how everything plays out. So it's, I know, I watched them against Denver, and I'm going, oh. I watched both those games. And Denver might be, you know, Denver's definitely a top five team in the country. And those were great battles, and they were just – They were tight as, you know, tight as they can be. So it's going to be great hockey, and that's the beauty. Again, I'm going to say it for the 500th time. You know, I've ever said that's why we're the greatest college sport there is, because of the parity. And you have teams that are 30th in the country can win the national championship. Not too many other sports, a 30th team or the 35th team in the country could win a national championship, but it can happen in hockey.
With Duluth obviously being so close, they're almost always on the schedule, aren't they? It seems that you've been able to get a lot of these
We've got a good relationship, and that's one thing we've kept. We were on the schedule before we were in the same league, then we were in the same league, and we have. And we were not, but we did take a couple years off with Duluth. North Dakota and us we've maintained that. I don't know if there's been a year we haven't played North Dakota.
Yeah.
Duluth, we took about 2-3 years off, but boy – I'm just, you know, trying from 01 to 17, or I think 17 or 18, we played every year. I think we took 18, 19 off, 19, 20, or maybe it was 19, 20, 20, 21. There was two or three years. Schultz, you might have that down more than, you know what, you know, you can fact check me right there. But and now we're back, and I see it sticking, you know, I see it, you know, sticking around. What happens once in a while is that you owe games to some other teams, and that can happen sometimes, and you can get backlogged and those kinds of things.
Otherwise, obviously, it makes total sense from a geography perspective as well as sort of a rival. I mean, maybe not at the same level of North Dakota where they're selling out maybe, but certainly I think there's that geography rival more so than, I mean, any other team other than maybe UND.
All right. No, you're right on, Biss. And Oh, they're great games, and you know, hopefully we make them better and they make us better, and that's kind of the whole idea, you know, make each other better.
Quite a few of the seasons you've been their last defeat before they went to the national championship.
Yeah, that was in 2012, I think. No, 2010, actually. No, 2012. 2011, 12, right. 2012, yeah.
How does a weekend typically look when you're doing a home-and-home as far as travel? I'm assuming you guys leave Saturday morning.
We'll leave, Kelly. We'll eat here. We play almost like a home game. Okay. We'll skate here. We'll have video here. We'll have our pregame meal at the same time here, and then we'll leave at 1 o'clock. So, I mean,
guys get their pregame nap on the bus.
Yeah. We'll just chill out of the bus.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with it. Like, I actually like playing the Saturday game. And we could flip-flop, but I kind of like playing this. I have no problem.
I love playing at home on Friday and being on the road Saturday.
I do too, Schultz. Yeah. I have no problem with it.
You played three times in 2016. 2017 you played, then you didn't play again until 2021.
So was that 17-18, Schultz? It was the first year we had off?
It was October 13th and 14th of 2017.
So that means we played seven. So we took 18, 19, 19, 20, and 2021 off?
Well, 2021 would have been
COVID. That was a COVID year. Gotcha.
So there were no non-conference games year.
So we took basically, and I think we weren't going to play that year anyway. I don't think we were, if I remember. Well, whatever. Yeah. So we've had 3 years off since 2000 or 2001. I've been the head coach since 2001, 2002, and we played them. We started, you know, right away.
So this is your 22nd year, correct?
Yep.
And Sandy's 23rd.
Yep. Sandy's got one more year. You're spot on. Yeah.
Pretty good longevity along Highway 2.
We're still buffaloing them, Sandy and I.
His kid plays for Minnesota State Mankato. There was some fun stuff, you know, the last couple of years in the Frozen Four with his kid's mom and Scott's wife wearing the split jersey and such. But what does anything stand out about this year's Duluth team compared to years past?
You know what? They're the same Duluth team, and they're a good hockey team. And again, they may not have the results right now that they've had. You know, they've been so fortunate the last 10 years or so. But boy, they're a good hockey team. They've got a lot of talent. They just lost a good player for the year. Biondi has shoulder problems, but no, they're a team that obviously knows how to defend. And you know, the typical Duluth, they know how to win 2-1, and they know how to win 2-1 very calm. They play very calm with a lead, and they're good. They're a good hockey team, and you know, again, I don't know what their record. I think they're one game under 500. Schultz, you have it. I don't even know. I haven't even looked that much at the records.
8-10.
8-10. So they're two games, and again, they could have five more wins. You know, four or five more wins, and then obviously put that together. So, at the end of the day, I mean, they play a tough schedule, and sometimes again, you fight it a little bit. And you know, we've been fighting it too this year, and again, but there's some times we've had some puck luck, and we've been fortunate.
Well, it's a good way to start the second half of the season, isn't it? An exhibition game and then a non-conference, so kind of get your wheels underneath you again to gear up for the stretch run.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me, Biss, if it's a, you know, we play, you know, we just happen to be playing a non-conference game right now, but to me, it doesn't matter. Whenever you got to play, you got to play. I did like playing a non-conference game though to start the second half. Exhibition game to start the second half. That was nice. It was nice, you know, for Bob as well. I mean, they got St. Cloud. We got Duluth just to get our feet under us a little bit and play. That was nice. But it doesn't matter to me. Like, next year we play St. Cloud at the 30th and 31st or, you know, whatever. So we're playing non-conference with no exhibition. Next year we got non-conference. But it doesn't matter if we have it off. And then the 6th and 7th we're playing, you know, conference games. It doesn't matter. Whatever the schedule is with me, you just play it and you don't worry about anything else. But it was kind of nice playing this exhibition game. It actually played out pretty well.
Not to mention you sold out the place.
Yeah, but it was nice playing. I mean, like for Bob and I, like we were talking about, it's just nice getting some games under your belt. That's the biggest thing, and mostly when you can't. And sometimes, you know what, it kind of shortens a long layoff too.
Well, and with the guys going home for Christmas and eating all the good food that Mom is baking and I suppose need to work it off somehow, right?
Yeah, but our guys actually, there's Juts over there, but I was pretty pumped up when I watched our guys weigh in. They were all, not one guy was, they nice. Were fine. But we were only off for, we weren't off that long, nine
Week
days.
And a half.
Yeah, 9 days, so.
BSU women are off for a month.
Yeah. All right. Oh,
that
boy.
Is a long time.
Yeah.
I think our guys do a good job, too, and I hope they do. We talk about it, but they got work to do when they're at home, too. They have to have a little fun, and they're going to enjoy the holidays, but you still got to work. There's still certain things you got to do, and I think they do the necessary things that they need to do when they're home.
Well, there's a lot of routine, right?
Yeah.
And I think that everybody likes to keep with that routine.
Exactly.
It might be a different locale, but they want to do their lifting and everything else that they're doing to keep going.
Well, it's weird, these guys, and I I've been doing this for a long time. Even my own son, we're in we went to Florida for Christmas break, and it was just like, he needed to go, he needed to work out. Where's there a gym? Same thing with him. And it's just, he goes, crying, and you go 2 or 3 days, and he goes, I just feel so lethargic. and our guys are no different, because that's just how they're, that's really their routine. That's the best way of putting it, Biss.
Funny, because I just said, where's the prime rib?
Oh, yeah. We're all that way, Schulte.
Our player profile tonight is Jackson Judding, transfer. From Savage, went to Colorado College. Your first impressions of him when you saw him on the ice for the first time and not on video?
Well, I kind of knew what we were getting with Jutz, Jutz has been awesome. He's strong. He's a good centerman. He's got good depth to his game, and his work ethic is just second to none. He cares. We have him playing in so many different situations. I mean, he's killing penalties. He's on the power play. Takes big draws. He's tough. I mean, like Jutz has a well-balanced skill set, but he also does a lot of things. He does a lot of extra things that a team needs. And he's so valuable. He's such a valuable player for us, because he brings so many different things to the table. And even the other day against Minnesota, I mean, there's a couple clips and just things that people don't realize, but one was on the penalty kill, and then I'm watching him reload, get above the puck and get above his man and maintain his positioning. And then there's a situation that was later in the game, same thing, there was a big reload, and then he makes contact on one of their defensemen and with a big hit at the proper time, and just things like that. Like, he does a lot of different Jutz can do a lot of different things for you. And if he's, the one thing you're going to get out of him, you're going to get a physical component. He's got that physical attribute, and he's got that hardness to his game. And that really, you can't have enough of that.
His uncle, Troy Judding, your college roommate at Mankato, does that have any bearing whatsoever on Jackson coming here, or
you'd have to ask Jutz, and you can ask him that. But, I mean, there's nice – it's. I can't speak for Jutz, but there's familiarity with Jutz. Jutz has familiarity. I'm talking Jackson here. Jackson's got familiarity with me. Even though we don't know each other, we do know each other. And I think what happens there, and there's obviously a certain amount of trust. He's putting faith that he can trust me, and I know I can trust a Judding. And I think there's from that standpoint, I think that's a feel-good situation for both parties, and I think it's worked out great. And I think that was probably a big reason why he came here, and that's a big reason why I asked him to come here.
So many different family connections in hockey, and that is just another example.
Yeah.
Well, hockey's a small world to begin with. I found that out.
It's getting a little bigger as we go, but.
But you know what? Kelly's right, though. Like, it is bigger, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, hey, I'm the one who talks about it. Take a look at the non-traditional areas, and how many players we're producing in Arizona, California, Missouri, Florida, Tennessee, the Carolinas. It doesn't matter. There's ball players everywhere, i.e. Austin Matthews out of Phoenix, Arizona. But the hockey world's getting bigger, but it's still pretty darn small when you factor in all the other sports, though.
42 current or future NCAA hockey players are playing in the World Juniors.
That's awesome.
10 of those 42 from Latvia.
That's incredible.
That's got to be a new frontier for college hockey in just the last couple of years, isn't it?
Well, I think what's happening, Schulte, and you're spot on, and I'll use the Latvian kids, and once they start coming over here and they start seeing that there's what an opportunity of getting their education, it's a small country. It's a small country. And we want to talk about hockey. It's a small, and it's a small hockey world there too in Latvia. Yeah. I mean, I can't.
They all know each other.
Yeah, they all know each other. Like Minnesota's a way bigger hockey area than Latvia. Wow. Latvia might be, I don't know, I might be wrong on this one, too. I'm just throwing this one out. Don't fact check me on this one, Schultz. But, you know, but it might be like being in Wisconsin or something like that. I'm talking about comparatively. Oh, sure. Comparatively. And, I mean, it's not like playing in Sweden or Finland or Russia or the Czech Republic is all I'm getting at, or Slovakia even. I mean, it's a small country in a small, you know, I'd like to know how many registered hockey players that they actually have is what I'm getting at.
We get 10 of them that are going to be playing in the NCAA.
The level of hockey there is obviously pretty good.
Well, hockey's important, though, there. You know, but it's a big part of their fabric and culture, too, in Latvia. But it's what's the size of Latvia, guys? I mean, it's a couple million, if that.
If that.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. It's a, I mean, maybe the size of Manitoba's about 1.1 million, isn't it? You know, maybe 1.2 million.
Oh, my gosh,
million.
There's actually, I just Googled. Total number of registered hockey players from in Latvia from 2010 to 2022, 7,898 hockey players in Latvia that are registered.
Out of curiosity, Kelly, because you're right there, Minnesota. Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's 7,000 north of Highway 2.
Exactly.
Maybe not that much, but... I mean, there's a team, it seems, in every...
Oh, gosh. I mean, corner what do we have? Do we have 300 here in Bemidji? I mean, I know when my son played, I think we were right around 300 in our youth hockey.
Well, good point.
I wasn't joking, Miss.
Yeah, you're right when you think about all the youth hockey. Duluth. I was thinking just high school.
No, this is
Duluth. Every hockey player.
Range.
Yeah.
Grand Rapids, Bemidji.
Thief River.
Crookston, Thief River, East Grand Forks.
For sure.
War Road, Roseville. There's 7,000.
Yeah, you're right. There probably is. We'll have to do our geography.
We will.
All right, I got it. Hold on. It's opening. Good old MinnesotaHockey.org. Where is it? Oh, come on, people.
We'll get the answer after the
break.
We'll
get the answer.
And give away some stuff
when we
come back, right?
Tom, see you at the rink on Friday.
All right, gang. Thanks for having me.
Tom Cerutori Show, our new home, Fozzie's Smoking Barbecue. Jackson Judding joins us next right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
I will.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
When you buy some of the best-selling equipment in America, the relationship doesn't just end at the showroom floor. You become part of something bigger, a dedicated parts and service team that'll keep you productive from day one. Equipment backed by our standard warranty and the Orange Protection Program for extended peace of mind. And a Kubota family that has your back every step of the way. Ask about how we can keep your Kubota running like a Kubota. See the full line of Kubota at Acme Tools, Highways 2 and 71 North, Bemidji. Do your best work.
Hi, my name is Gail Reese, General Manager at Pepsi Nye Bottling of Bemidji. We're looking for a few individuals with a CDL or those looking to obtain one. Nye Bottling is a family-owned business that's been a fixture in the Bemidji area for over 50 years. We've been extremely fortunate to have great long-term employees over the years. You could start a career here with us. Our open positions receive competitive wages and great benefits. Contact me today. I want to talk to you about joining our team. My direct line is 218-751-3847, extension 104. Hope to hear from you soon.
Hi, Dan the GM man. Don't just drive by, stop by. Come check out the new look of the 2023 Chevy and GMC trucks, along with many other Chevy, Buick, and GMC vehicles. Inventory levels are increasing, and 2023 is looking like a great year. So don't just drive by, stop by. Dominger Chevrolet Buick GMC in Bemidji. Chevy, find new roads.
Better cars, better service for the best customers. Dominger GM of Bemidji.
The key to success is a solid game plan and commitment to the fundamentals. Otter Tail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University men's and women's athletics for teamwork and dedication throughout the season and wishes you the best as you take it to the next level. Otter Tail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers! one great reason to be a kid? Just being a kid qualifies you for the BRN Kids Club. Free membership for all kids 0 to 13 years old. Get invited to exclusive club events. Receive special offers from our sponsors, Bemidji Co-op, A&W, The Green Mill in Bemidji, Bemidji Bowl, and BSU Athletics. The club that does more and gives you more. Meals, savings, discounts, sporting events, and prize drawings. Visit BRNKids.com and sign up today. BRNKids.com, part of your Beaver Radio Network. The voice of Bemidji State University Sports.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, The River.
We just made six people very happy. And me very upset because I didn't get to eat anything during that break.
I could have done that. But we give four $25 gift cards, and the first two winners pick the tickets.
They did.
For the Duluth game.
Every Wednesday night, we're giving away $100 in gift cards to Fozzie's, and if we happen to have tickets,
we'll give those
we'll give away tickets as well.
I mean, why not? A Wednesday, you know you're going to get great food, a chance to win. You might even pay for your food just by showing up.
All right, guys. Here it is. Well, I don't have Minnesota's numbers, but I can give you an idea of where everybody ranks as far as countries by number of registered ice hockey players this last year. So the United States right now with 551,000 ice hockey.
Latvia has 7,000.
Hockey, Canada is right behind us with 513,000. Russia with 103,000. And Latvia almost at the bottom of the list with 7,898.
Wow, but percentage-wise, they've got more in the World Juniors than any other country.
Yeah. I know, isn't that crazy?
That is.
I like it.
Huh. Very cool.
Jackson Judding transferred from Colorado College to the Beavers. Junior, he's got 2 years here. Juts, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Everyone has a different reason for jumping or dipping their toes into the transfer portal. Colorado College, I actually love the city, Colorado Springs. They got a brand new rink. What made you want to say, you know what, I'm going to see if the grass is greener someplace else?
Yeah, at the end of the day, it wasn't the right fit for me. Things just didn't work out. And so when I had the opportunity to get in the transfer portal and Coach Sartori reached out and we started talking, it just seemed like the perfect fit for me and my game.
All right. How close are you to your uncle, who was Tom's roommate in college?
Pretty close. Over the last probably 5 years or so, maybe not as much, but I still see him maybe once, twice a year. But growing up, I mean, he's the reason I started playing hockey in the first place. I went to games in Mankato pretty much all growing up until he left there. So, yeah.
So he didn't give you too much dirt on Coach Sartori that you said, you know what, I don't want to go play for him?
No, I think, I mean, he definitely gave me some words of encouragement as far as how he coaches, and I think that's the way that I wanted to be coached and the team I want to play for. So I knew what I was getting myself into, and I'm glad I made the decision.
So entering the transfer portal is almost compared to like free agency in a way, right? I mean, you get to start over, and any team can have a shot at you. Well, how did that process work for you then? You enter the portal, right? And then it's free game?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you talk to one person at the college that kind of enters your name into the system, and you kind of go from there, and you're open to pretty much talking to any team.
How many teams talk to you?
Yeah, I talked to a handful. I mean, Coach Sartori was kind of quick on it, so I wasn't in the portal very long. But, yeah, I talked to a handful of teams, and at the end of the day, Bemidji State was the place for me.
What's been the biggest difference you've noticed from playing in the conference NCHC versus the CCHA for you?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, winning college hockey games is hard. I mean, anywhere you play, it's hard to win games. And especially at CC, we didn't maybe get a whole lot of that winning. But, I mean, it's close. Every game you play, you have a chance to win. And same thing here in the CCHA. Every game we play, it's a close game. And we've learned to win a lot of those games so far this year.
Colorado, the state has got, you know, Denver, CC, Air Force, pretty good rivalry amongst all three of them. They all have pretty loyal fan bases. You come to Minnesota, though, and it's that times 10. What was it like playing against the Gophers? What was it like playing against North Dakota, St. Cloud, this weekend Duluth? You know, just being a Minnesota kid.
Yeah, I mean, I playing against those teams. I mean, we played St. Cloud, North Dakota, and in Duluth the past couple of years when I was at CC. But I think playing for a Minnesota team and playing against them, for some reason, it's just better. You feel the rivalry. You see those games all growing up in the WCHA and stuff. And playing Mankato was a big thing for me. I was super excited for that game, obviously watching them all growing up. So playing them before break was awesome. And then playing the Gophers. I mean, everyone watches the Gophers in Minnesota when you're younger, whether you're a fan of them or not. I wasn't very much of a fan of them, being a Mankato fan. But playing against them was awesome. So I have a lot of friends on the team, so it was super fun playing them.
Well, how familiar with Bemidji State hockey were you growing up? At all this?
Honestly, not that much. I mean, it was pretty much Mankato and then against everyone else in the conference. So not super familiar with it, but once I learned kind of how the game plays or the team plays and everything, it's a good fit.
Did you come up here at all as a family vacation or anything like that?
Honestly, before I came this past spring, I had never been to Bemidji.
Wow.
So, yeah. No youth tournaments or anything. I think the furthest we went north was either Duluth or Brainerd. And I went in Brainerd once, and then pretty much every year some tournament in Duluth.
Well, you're not the only transfer on this team. A teammate of yours came from Canisius. Do you guys kind of share that connection as far as being kind of new to the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the start, maybe the first couple days, but once everyone's here getting to know everyone, it's the freshmen coming into it, it's a new group and a new kind of identity. So you get to meet everyone, and I'd say after the first couple days, you don't really feel like a transfer. You just feel like a part of the team.
All right, summarize in your words what quote-unquote Beaver hockey is.
I think it's a culmination of probably working hard, sticking to the structure, and being a good teammate.
You can win a lot of games with those three things.
How much preparation do you do for a game like UMD as far as from a film perspective? How much do you watch on them? Because, I mean, at this level, there's a lot of the same things going on but with teams, but how much film do you do?
Yeah, we spend probably 2 days on film. We watch penalty kill, power play, and then a whole team, but we try to focus a lot on ourselves and getting ourselves better and not necessarily changing that much to the opponent. So we watch our film on them Wednesday, Thursday, in special teams and stuff, but we try to stick to the game that we play, and they got to beat it.
And with that, how much do you watch your own film then? How much of the Gopher game would you watch? Just the first day back after that, and that's it? Or
yeah, actually, our assistant coach Mike Givens does video with the forwards, so we watch video with him every once in a while. But over the last couple of years, I think I've gotten more watching video and just kind of feeling it out. I think if I watch too much video, I just kind of start overthinking things. But I think watching video is important, especially as a team, as far as structures go and systems and everything like that.
As you get ready for this weekend against Duluth, what are some of their tendencies? And obviously you're probably more familiar with them than the Beavers are going in. Your teammates that may play them once a year. What have you told your teammates, and what are some of their tendencies?
Yeah, they're a good team. I mean, despite their record this year, I mean, they're still the same Duluth team that they've been for years, but they just haven't necessarily gotten the wins. But they're a tough team to play against, and I think I would compare it a lot to, I think, the way we play. They're good with their systems, their structures, and they just work hard. And they win tight games, like Coach was talking about before this. They can win a game 2-1 and get pretty calm in that process of being in the lead. So I think it'll be a good matchup.
Coach, also talking about you, commended that you do those little things that some players don't want to do, don't want to get your nose dirty. Have you always been that kind of a player?
Yeah, I think I've always prided myself on hard work and doing as much as I can. I don't necessarily have the strongest skill set of some of the high-end skill players, so I try to make up for it in areas where I can be physical and be fast in areas and win face-offs and be smart. So I try to do the best I can in all areas.
And academically, you're a junior, right? So unlike the other two transfers, fifth year, you're here for a couple years.
Yeah, I got this year and then two more years left of eligibility, so that kind of worked out in favor, too, in the transfer portal.
What's your major? And obviously, everybody wants to play hockey after college, but what are you hoping to do after that?
Yeah, so I'm an entrepreneurship major. So I actually started a hockey company with my buddy that's on the Gophers. We did summer camps and clinics and stuff, so we kind of started that up from scratch. So I kind of like that idea of starting stuff from scratch and and kind of working it up and kind of being my own boss. So that's what I do in the summers now. So hopefully we can maybe turn that into something as a side gig in the future. And I don't know, we'll see what we can do.
That's awesome. Good luck.
Thank you.
That's impressive.
College junior already has a side hustle. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't think we were doing that when we were in college. Nope. I was more worried about where the next beer might be coming from. Pretty cool.
Division I athlete, not a Division I athlete.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just one of many differences, yeah. I think.
Well, how long did it take you to get used to all your new teammates? I mean, that has got to be – I mean, you're a freshman all over again.
Yeah. It didn't honestly take that long. I mean, we hang out all the time. We came in, I think it was 2 weeks before school started. So we were hanging out every day, all day long. Actually got to know a lot of the guys through golfing. We have a big golfing team. So we'd golf pretty much every day before school started. And even after school, if we could play in a quick nine after practice, we'd do it. So I got to know a lot of the guys through playing 4 or 5 hour rounds of golf with them, which is nice.
Who's the most likely to wrap a club around a tree when they get mad?
I'm going to have to say maybe Will Zamolik.
Yeah, really?
He can rip the ball, but if it could also spray pretty far left, so he might get a little mad. But we have some good golfers on the team.
Well, and that's another recruiting tool, right? The country club's not a bad place to play.
Yeah, it's awesome. We got a good deal there, and we all got little memberships there through like student discount or something like that. But we took full advantage of that.
I remember seeing you guys out there. We're some of the old slow people in front of you sometimes.
This, by the way, is one most likely to wrap a club around a tree.
Oh, yeah. If you see a club in front of you going throwing, the odds are it's me. I'm glad to hear there's somebody else, though, that does that.
Jackson, what do you shoot? What's your best round of golf?
My best round of golf was actually the COVID summer. I played a ton during COVID that summer of 2020. So I think my lowest round is a 72 or 73.
Wow. Nice.
So you're like a scratch almost.
No, I think that was my best.
That was your best.
Yeah,
so what, 8, 9 maybe?
I think I ended this year maybe like a 5.5.
Wow, nice. And where, I mean, you're from Savage?
Yep.
Where were you, what's your home course down there?
So I kind of play, I don't have a membership or anything to any course around my hometown, but I try to play a lot of different courses. But I'll play the Wilds in Prior Lake. One of my buddies actually works at the Meadows, which is a super nice course at Mystic Lake. So I'll get on there a few times a year.
Isn't that the one with the pontoon?
No, that's Stonebrook.
Okay.
Stonebrook, right. I also go there quite a bit too. So I try to hop around to a bunch of different courses.
We probably shouldn't talk much more golf, or Ekren Miller's going to come walking in here trying to recruit you for golf.
Failed to mention, I completely spaced it out when Tom was here, but earlier today, Will Zamolik was named the CCHA's Defenseman of the Month, and Matias Scholl was named the Goalie of the Month. Those two in particular, Jackson, how much of the backbone of the team are they?
They're huge. I think all of our defensemen, both are all of our goalies, honestly, when you have that kind of talent behind you, you feel more confident as a forward. And they've been bringing it all year, and we expect big things out of them, and they bring it every night.
What was your high school and junior life like prior to going to CC?
So I went to Prior Lake High School, played 4 years of varsity hockey there. Unfortunately, never made it to the state tournament, which everyone in Minnesota wants to do.
Yeah, but, what section are you in?
2AA. So we had to get through Casey Mittelstadt my first 2 years of high school.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, those were our two best teams, and then we didn't end up making it close my junior or senior year. But then I played a year in Cedar Rapids. Where it was a good experience, but unfortunately we got shut down with COVID, so I didn't even get to play a full season there. Mm.
And so then you played half a year of juniors and went to CC.
CC from there?
Yeah, so I played actually before and after my senior year of high school for the Magicians, so I got in probably half a season there. If you count games, it was probably around 30, and then another 40 to 50 in USHL. So kind of 2 years, a year and a half if you want to say it, I don't know.
And then so your first year of college at Colorado was the first COVID season where you pretty much played just everybody in your conference, right? Weren't you in the bubble?
Yeah, so we started out, I think it was our first 10 games, I believe, was in the bubble. Yeah, so it was a crazy year. I mean, I think we spent almost 2 months total in quarantine. Every time someone was exposed or we had someone on the team get COVID, it was 2 weeks locked up in quarantine. And yeah, but that bubble was awesome. It was I mean, it maybe doesn't sound very fun from a fan perspective, but
you just got to play hockey all day. What do you care?
Exactly. Yeah, and it worked out nice too because we got our fall break for 2 weeks while we were in the bubble, so didn't really have to do any school, and it was. I mean, you could go to the rink and watch games all the way in the morning if you had an off day, which wasn't very often because I think we played almost every other day for those 2-3 weeks. But you could go to the rink and watch 4 college hockey games in a row, so it was nice.
And Omaha's not that bad of a town.
No, it's not bad at all. Walking distance to the rink, everyone's hotel was. Super nice facilities there. So, yeah, it was a good experience.
Haven't been everywhere in the CCHA yet. In fact, you haven't been to the 3 longest. Just wait, Jackson. This next month and change is going to be interesting. So you've been to Houghton. You've been to Marquette. You've been to Mankato.
Yep.
Is that it?
Yep.
Those are the only league road trips we had?
Boy, it was a whole first half.
I knew we were gone a lot in the second half. But
wow.
Safe to say Houghton's your favorite?
Yeah. I mean,
great atmosphere.
Yeah, it was super nice. That rink is fun to play in, especially the crowd that they had there. The seats are pretty vertical, so
straight up.
Yeah, it was a fun atmosphere to play in, and getting some wins there was nice too.
Speaking of atmosphere, this last weekend against the Gophers, that was incredible to see that place packed. How much did you guys beat off of it? Even though it was an exhibition game, I mean, no stats.
Yeah,
no
points. I think 2 days before we heard some rumors that it might be sold out, so we were getting pretty fired up for that. And then when we came out for warm-ups and starting lineups and stuff, and it was a packed building. It was fun to play in for sure.
You don't get that for an exhibition game just every day.
Yeah, we were shocked when we found out about a couple days before, but yeah, it was a fun game.
Gopher fans were shocked too. Like, yeah, I think I'm going to go up, but wait a minute, I can't even get tickets. What? Who sells out an exhibition game? Helps our 800 youth hockey players.
That helps. Yes. And New Year's Eve. I mean, it was the thing to do, no doubt. And I mean, from a game perspective, obviously a little disappointing at the end, but you played right with them the whole time. Number one team in the country.
Yeah, and I said this in between periods, I think in an interview, but we didn't want to treat it like an exhibition game. Like we got to move on from it quickly. But we wanted to win that game really bad. We knew they were a good team. A lot of us knew people on that team. We wanted to win that game for sure, even though it was an exhibition game. But you never know. Maybe later in the season we'd get a matchup against them. You never know.
You mentioned your business partner. He plays for the Gophers then?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Mike Hester.
Okay. So you had to play against him.
Yeah.
Did you guys, chit-chat back and forth on the ice?
Yeah, not too much in the middle of the game, but after the game for sure. I tried to get in a few hits on him, but he's pretty quick, so he spun away from a couple of them.
How important for the second half of the CCHA race were those two games in Mankato right before Christmas?
They were huge. I think it set the tone for the second half that we solidified ourselves in first place with games at hand too. And with the powerhouse that they've been over the last couple of years, we knew that those wins were big, and we just wanted to prove that we're here and we're at the top.
Mm-hmm. See you at the rink on Friday.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
Jackson Judding joining us tonight, our player profile. The Beaver men's hockey team will host Minnesota Duluth on Friday night, head to Amsoil, then on Saturday. Biss, have you made a determination?
I have not yet.
Oh,
it's a health issue. So I'm hoping. Fingers crossed. It has to do with my Achilles.
Uh-oh.
So we'll see.
You're just sitting in a car.
I know. Hopefully. I'm planning on it. Let's just put it that way.
Well, you got to walk from the car to
to Sammy's Pizza.
The pizza place.
Yeah. And then into Amsoil, which is a pretty cool arena. Yeah. So hopefully they don't have a power outage. Remember that?
I actually don't like that rink.
Why? No.
I'll take the Sanford Center any day.
Oh, really? Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
There's not a lot of scoreboard clocks. I remember that
part. Well, there's plenty. They just shut them off during breaks.
Oh, that's
true. Oh, I know.
True.
They do.
I like how you're so close to the action there compared to where we're a little bit further from the ice at the Sanford Center.
I don't like the angle. I don't like the building.
Well, you're hard to please. I like it. I don't mind it.
Well, if I work there every day, I might like it more than this one, but I work here every day.
I'll be there the weekend of the 13th and 14th with women's hockey.
There you go.
I don't understand why you would put a motion sensor switch in a press box booth. Literally, the lights will go off,
that's right.
And I'd have to wave my hands behind my head to get the lights to turn back on in the middle of the game.
It's crazy. Yes.
Who does that?
That's an okay rig.
Who does that?
Duluth.
It's better than the old deck. Oh, remember how many stairs we had to walk to get up to the press box?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
That thing was brutal.
That was scary.
Yeah, and
for somebody who's afraid of heights.
And it was ancient, too.
You're kind of just hanging over the catwalk.
Yeah,
in the booth.
Oh, God.
Oh, that was bad.
See, so the AMSOIL's okay.
Yeah,
but if it wasn't, I never once had a press pass at the deck. I just walked in, acted like I knew where I was going. Never once got a press pass there.
That's crazy.
They're like, can I help you? I said, nope, I'm going right up there.
I got yelled at by one of the former coaches of the women's team. Because I didn't have my press pass. She scared me.
She got over it.
She's not there
so
anymore.
Pregame on Friday, it's
6:30.
6:30 and 5:30,
5:30
right?
On Saturday. Beaver basketball heads to Upper Iowa and to Winona State this weekend. Mm-hmm. Kevin's jumping on a bus tomorrow. Headed to Fayette. Women's hockey back then in a week.
Yes, finally. It's been a month.
Next Wednesday, I will not be here as we are headed down to the cities to get on a plane to go to Bowling Green.
So no show next week.
No, we'll have a show.
We'll have a show.
You won't be
he
here.
Won't
I
be
won't
here.
Be here.
Oh, okay.
You two will be here.
Okay.
I won't.
No, we're
say, I want to get back here.
Women's
I'm
hockey?
Hungry again already.
We'll be talking women's hockey, right?
Jim Scanlon.
Okay.
Put it on your calendar, please. 6 o'clock at Fozzie's next Wednesday. It's the Tom Ceratori Show at our new home. Thanks to the staff here at Fozzie's Smoke and Barbecue.
Oh, the food was so good.
I think I have taken 6 bites out of my food, and I have, I don't know, 600 to go.
Schultzy?
This is a big
Yeah, that's a huge bowl, man.
Dish of mac and cheese.
Loaded mac and cheese is my favorite because I get about 3 meals out of it.
Yeah,
I might get, that'd take me a week. If they made me eat it all, it would take me a week.
I might get
so
one.
Good.
We're back next Wednesday. Fozzie's Smoke and Barbecue, the Tom Ceratori Show, and the Coach's Huddle on the Beaver Radio Network.
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Dog Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station.